The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 25, Text number 23, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on March 28th, 2009, in Helsinki, Finland.
So today we are continuing on with this nectarian transcendental adventure, Bhagavatam. 3rd Canto, Chapter 25, Text Number 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Madashraya Katha Mrishta.
Madashraya Katha Mrishta.
Shrinvanti Katayanti Cha.
Shrinvanti Katayanti Cha.
Tapanti Vividastapa. Naitan man gata chetasa. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Purport. There are multifarious miseries in material existence. Those pertaining to the body and the mind, those imposed by other living entities, and those imposed by natural disturbances. But a sadhu is not disturbed by such miserable conditions because his mind is always filled with Krishna consciousness. And thus he does not like to talk about anything but the activities of the Lord. Maharaj Ambarish did not speak of anything but the pastimes of the Lord. Vachangshi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane Bhagavatam 9.4.18. He engaged his words only in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadhus are always interested in hearing about the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries. Ordinary conditioned souls, being forgetful of the activities of the Lord, are always full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotees always engage in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. these miseries of material existence are going on. That's unavoidable. They're going to happen. You can't take the threefold miseries out of this material world. That's never going to happen. Even in the previous yugas, the Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, you still had the miseries of material existence. So that's not the way to become free from misery. The way to become free from misery is to put your consciousness somewhere else. Not to be in the bodily identification. When you're completely free, when one is completely free from bodily identification, even the most heavy thing coming, death, it's something external to the self. You see. The sadhus, they don't personally or directly experience the miseries. It's something happening to the in the external energy, something out there in the external energy, that's all. They are fully engrossed, fully enwrapped, fully absorbed, diving deeply, deeply, ever more deeply into the transcendental name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, dham, and teachings of that supremely beautiful, all-attractive young boy who wears a peacock feather in his hair and a yellow dhoti, whose name is Krishna. You see, they're completely engrossed in this person. Why Krishna? Well, why not Krishna? He's the source of all existence. There's nobody more beautiful. There's nobody more powerful. There's nobody more renounced. Yes, even renounced. They say renounced. Shishupala objected in the Rajasuya Yajna. Why Krishna should be president? He's a woman hunter. He has all those girlfriends. He is criticizing Krishna. You see? Why he should be honored as the president? He's a woman hunter. But Grandfather Bhishma, who is known as Dhritavrata, who's so powerful in his brahmachari, in his renunciation, he is so powerful, he will not die unless he wants to die. He stood up and he said, no. He said, Krishna is the greatest renunciate. He is a better brahmachari than me. If I had been in the forest with all those beautiful young girls, I certainly would have been agitated, sexually agitated. But even though Krishna was with all those the most beautiful young girls in all of existence who were fully surrendering themselves to him in the dark of night in the forest, he wasn't even the slightest bit sexually agitated. Prabhupada said there was no pregnancy and no abortion from the Rasa Leela. It was completely brahmachari consciousness the whole time. Even though he was embracing and kissing, there was no sex. It was complete brahmachari. Krishna was perfect brahmachari even during the Rasa Leela. Of course, we cannot imitate. If we kiss and embrace, then we will have sex. So we don't kiss and embrace. We are not like Krishna. We have to remain detached from that personal contact, physical contact with the opposite thing. That will carry us away. So we are strict brahmacharis, you see. Even house odors. You see, we have four kinds of brahmacharis. We have actually five kinds. We have brahmachari, brahmacharis, brahmacharini, brahmacharis. We have grihastha brahmacharis, vanaprastha brahmacharis, and sannyas brahmacharis. Five kinds of brahmacharis, you see. So, Krishna is supreme also in renunciation. He's supreme in wisdom. He's supreme in wealth. He's supreme in every conceivable way. Therefore, there's nobody more attractive than Krishna. There's nobody more attractive. Everything that's attractive is simply his energy. You take every attractive thing, any attractive thing, it's simply a little insignificant, infinitesimal portion of a portion of a portion of a portion of a portion of the unlimited attractive opulence of Krishna. If you want money, take over the treasury, the government treasury. Then you have unlimited money. You see. So if you want the unlimited nectar, you go to the source of the nectar. If we go straight to the source, if we go straight to Krishna, that's where all the nectar is coming from. All the nectar is oozing from Krishna. So if we connect with Krishna, therefore, then we get unlimited nectar. So, once you connect on that level with Krishna, through this wonderful process known as Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga. Once you connect with Krishna and you taste that sweet rasa of loving relationship, bhakti rasa, you see. We are at this point, we are not so concerned. Well, what rasa do I have in the spiritual world? That is not our concern. We simply know if I serve my spiritual master, if I serve Prabhupada's mission with full dedication, then in due course of time, my rasa with Krishna will be revealed. We are not concerned, well, what rasa do I have? It doesn't matter what rasa one has. And even Prabhupada says one can change one's rasa in the spiritual world. One sannyasi couldn't believe me when I said that, but then I sent him the quote from Prabhupada right out of the Vedabase. One can change one's rasa in the spiritual world. So we're not that concerned. It can even be changed, so it's not that big a deal what rasa one has in the spiritual world. But the important thing is we learn how to enter into bhakti rasa, because that's our ticket to regain our original identity in the spiritual world. That's the important thing. We learn how to dive deeply, deeply into bhakti rasa, that taste, that mellow, that relationship of humble, submissive servitorship with that supreme, all-attractive personality. That's the most important thing. We need to target all of our activities towards achieving that goal. Whether I'm doing pujari work, whether I'm doing management, whether I'm collecting money, whether I'm living outside and earning a living and trying to practice Krishna consciousness in my own ashram, you see. Whatever position I'm in, I should try to see that everything I'm doing is bringing me to that goal of achieving pure Krishna bhakti. Nothing else really matters. When all is said and done and you're on your deathbed, what does it matter except one thing? How much have you developed your love for Krishna? That's the only thing that's going to matter. Nothing else is important at the time of death. How much have you developed your love for Krishna? That's the only thing that matters. Therefore, we should keep our priorities straight. Even it's more important than saving the world, Prabhupada said. He said the most important thing is to save the world, but even more important is to save yourself. And if you look at it, well, if you haven't saved yourself, how you can spread Krishna consciousness? You see, to the point that we have conquered our own lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Only to that degree does Lord Chaitanya empower us to actually spread this movement. So, if my goal is I want to be a powerful preacher and, you know, make Finland Krishna conscious, which we want you all to have that goal, you see, then you have to think, I can only be successful in pushing for this movement in Finland to the extent that I have conquered my senses, Goswami, you see, only to that extent. It's not that I can remain a sense gratifier and be a successful preacher. We've seen people who tried that and they couldn't maintain it. But we had a big GBC guru here in the European zone. He was doing that. He was trying to do both things, maintain the sense gratification mentality undercover, and it didn't work. Sooner or later, the whole thing was finished, you see. Those persons who actually are serious to cultivate pure bhakti, you see, in the long run, they will be the most successful preachers. So, We should take hint from the great acharyas and develop very, very staunchly pure bhakti, uttama bhakti, cultivate uttama bhakti, pure devotional service. Make this the goal, because that will facilitate everything. When pure bhakti is there, then everything comes. All facility has come. All facility comes, you see. Ananyaschintayanto mam yejana pariyapasate teisham nityabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, that means only devoted to Krishna, only devoted to Krishna and nothing else. Completely. Everything for Krishna. True sadhu, you see. Krishna says, for the true sadhu, I personally deliver everything. Prabhupada, in his lecture, he translated, he said, Krishna says, I personally deliver to your front door. Sometimes the DHL man will come with a package. You see? Krishna says, I will personally be like that delivery man who comes to your door and give you everything you need to serve me and to come back to me. So, to the extent that we are totally, completely surrendered to Krishna, to that extent, Krishna reciprocates. Ye yata mang prapadyante itang tatayava bhajamyaham. So, each of us, each and every one of us can decide how much Krishna do we want. Do I want a little bit of Krishna? A medium amount of Krishna? Or I want the full Krishna? How much Krishna do you want? You see? Because to the extent that you give yourself to Krishna, to that extent, he will personally give himself to you. And as I pointed out previously, he's not limited like you and me. I may have one friend and I give them most of my time, but then I have other friends too. I divide myself between this friend and that friend. But Krishna is not limited like that, you see. Just as he was able to reciprocate with 16,108 gopis and Dwarka, as if each and every one, or I mean to say queens, not gopis. He was able to reciprocate with 16,108 queens as if each and every one of them were his only wife. In the same way, Krishna can totally, fully give, totally 100% give all of himself to each and every one of his devotees who fully surrenders to him. So Krishna will become your personal property. He'll become our personal property if we fully give ourselves to him. So this should be our goal, you see, that I must fully, completely, totally, 100% give myself to Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya taught us, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or leaves me devastated by not being present before me. Just as Narad, you see, that when he was a boy, he was devastated. Krishna revealed himself and then he separated himself and he was devastated by the separation of the Lord. You see, but that hankering, when will I again see that beautiful Lord? You see, that hankering, that vipralamba, you see, that the pain of separation, that actually stokes the fire of pure bhakti within the heart. So, if we can try to develop this intense eagerness, you see, valyam, this greediness to achieve pure bhakti so we can regain our lost Lord, you see, then nothing can stop us from becoming sadhus, as described here in this purport. Nothing can stop us. So we have about 6 minutes left. Yes, do we have any questions? Yes. Yeah.
Prabhu, it's quite easy to say that that to surrender to Krishna 100% is the best thing to do. But then when it comes to, like, personally thinking of giving up all, even the little attachment and being like
How true your words are, Prabhu. How very, very true. There's a saying in English, easier said than done. Yes. How true these words are that you speak. So what is the question? How to make it a practical reality?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because like there is many like even small things which there are many even small things which like nonsense.
Thousands of them. I mean millions of them. Oh, so many things. Well, the trick is you just have to somehow engage all of those things in Krishna's service. That's the truth. Every material, as far as possible, every single material tendency, you engage it in Krishna consciousness. If you like to look at beautiful things, you see, then learn. It's like somebody really, really relishes going out and watching a sunrise in nature, you know. They just really get excited by a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful mountain scene, you see. Some people have that nature. So they should learn how to relish the darshan of the deities in the same exciting, exhilarating way that they would watch a beautiful sunset out in nature, you see, or sunrise. They should train themselves. Someone likes to, in every way, take anything. Somebody likes to write poetry, then they should really write beautiful Krishna conscious poetry that glorifies Krishna in choice words, you see, very choice language. So whatever propensity we have, you should utilize it in Krishna consciousness. Take those tendencies you have to be attached to matter in different ways and as far as possible, engage all of them in Krishna's service. That's the formula for Vaishnavas, you see. We're all attached to this material world. We're all attached to the material world. That's a fact. That's why we're here. So that's why preaching is so really good thing, you know. Just like Papa told us in America, he said, he knew Americans are proud of being an American. He knew our mentality. So he said, if you actually feel for your countrymen, just save them. They are dying. You see? He took our attachment, yes, I'm American. And purified it by saying, all right, you feel you're American? All right, then save the Americans. Dovetail that feeling you have, I'm American, in the service of Krishna by saving the Americans. You see? Papa, he played on our American mentality again and again and again. He said, oh, you're Americans? I have done 10 times what my Guru Maharaj has done. You should do at least double or triple what I have done if you're actually Americans. He told like that. He played on that American mentality that we have, you know. Puffed up, proud American mentality. So in this way, try to use all of your... try to see that all of your nature, your tendencies can be nicely connected with Krishna. You see. Instead of trying to negate them, try to dovetail them, connect them with Krishna. So in this way, then it becomes much easier. You see. Just like I like traveling. Even when I was doing a business to support our preaching center, I was doing a travel business. I was selling tickets to devotees to go to the Holy Dham. I really was enlivened by travel. I was sitting in our preaching center, raising money, you know, for the preaching center, just on the telephone. I would call a wholesaler and would get a wholesale price on tickets to India and then, you know, mark it up a little bit. If it was non-devotees, I'd mark it up big. But devotees, just a small market. And I really enjoyed connecting the devotees with the Holy Dham, you know. Traveling and preachers, I mean, you know, the sannyasis also used to call me. Bhakti Charu Maharaj would call me. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. It was really exciting, helping everyone to travel all over the world in Krishna for Krishna's service. And then we phased out of that and moved into traveling ourselves. So I've traveled. So I have that nature of traveling. I find it enlivening, exciting. So I use it for Krishna. I travel to spread Krishna consciousness, not to see the mundane sights. I mean, in any karmi, they go to India, they think, well, you got to see Taj Mahal, so you can say, I saw Taj Mahal. Even President Clinton, he went there and he saw Taj Mahal, you see. So how many times I've gone to India? I've lost count a long time ago. I've never gone to Taj Mahal. I did a preaching program in what's it called? Agra, yeah. I was just a few miles away. I mean, I could have told the taxi driver, why don't you just, you know, on your way back to Vrindavan, can we just drive by Taj Mahal? No, not interested, is he? I could care less about Taj Mahal, is it? I never, you know, we were in London, I didn't say, well, we got to see Buckingham Palace, we got to see Big Ben. I could care less about these stupid things, you know. I just want to know, where is Radha London Ishvar? That's where I want to go, you see. I don't want to see the royal guards at Buckingham Palace, see if I can make them flinch, you know. No. So in this way, if you have a certain nature, use that for Krishna. And then that nature becomes purified, you see. Actually, the desire to travel, it's rajasic nature. But it becomes transformed into sattvic nature if you use that for preaching. You see? If you travel to spread Krishna consciousness, then that becomes sattvicized, transcendentalized, you see. So in this way, our time has run out, and we have to travel on now to the next destination. So we thank you all very much for so kindly receiving us, even though it's a little inconvenient in the middle of the week for you all on your schedule, and we appreciate very much your kindly receiving us, and we thank you very much. Yantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.